Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to read this morning from a beautiful incident right at the beginning of his life and ministry in the life of our Lord Jesus today. And if you would like to follow with me, I'm reading from Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and I'm reading from verse 29. I'll be reading from the New International Version of the Scriptures. If you prefer just to sit and allow the Holy Spirit who inspired Mark to write these words, then please feel free as we receive from this story some interesting insights into the life of our Lord Jesus. Mark chapter 1 and verse 29. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was unwell with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand and helped her up. The fever left her and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus those who were sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. But Jesus, so when he saw so many and so many various diseases, the Bible says that he drove out many demons and he would not let them speak because they knew who he was. Very early the next morning, it was still dark. Jesus got up and left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone's looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. May the Lord bless the reading of his word today. I have the privilege, now that I'm retired, of volunteering, helping some young migrants and some that are quite fluent in English to learn and become more confident with English. In one of the classes, we have a discussion time. Now, I'm not allowed to share anything particularly of my faith or proselytize in any way, but I try and pick out some interesting statements or idioms that might lead to a bit of a discussion. And so the other, a month or so ago now, I picked out this quote from Mark Twain, who said this: "The two most important days of your life are the day you are born and then there was a pregnant pause. I said, "What do you think would be the second most important day?" Perhaps the day you started school. No. Perhaps the day you got married. No. Perhaps the day you started work. No. Perhaps the day you had children. No. Perhaps the day you died. No. They said, "What did Mark Twain say?" This is what he said: "The two most important days in your life are the day you are born and the day you find out why." And I'm thinking today, as we start a new year, Can you ask yourself the question, why? Why was I born? Why am I here? What is my life all about? Jesus, of course, was the perfect and beautiful example of that. He lived every day of his life working out the why he was here. In fact, on an occasion just prior to this story that I read, he was in the synagogue and he opened the scroll that was there from the Old Testament and he began to read from the prophet Isaiah chapter 61. And he said these words, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he has appointed me, or he has anointed me, to preach good news to the poor. He has anointed me to proclaim freedom for those that are bound. He has anointed me to bring sight to those that are blind. He has anointed me to release captives. He has anointed me to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he's lived his life in the fulfillment because he knew why he was here. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20 and verse 28, and again in Mark, a little bit later on from where we read here, in Mark 10 and verse 45, he said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but he came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Luke picked it up in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. He said, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save all who were lost." And John said in chapter 10 and verse 10, a verse that's very familiar to so many, that the thief comes to rob and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Jesus lived with that trajectory of life right from his birth in fulfillment of why he was here. We celebrated just a couple of weeks ago the fact that he was born. And we are celebrating today. In fact, the reason that we are here today is because Jesus knew why he was born. And he fulfilled that through his life. As we read in this story here, he went out and ministered to people. He preached the good news. He healed people. I love the way it said when Peter's mother-in-law was there sick and Jesus heard about it, he didn't make a big scene about it. He just went to her and touched her hand and helped her up, and immediately the fever was taken from her life. He delivered people who were demon-possessed. He outworked the reason for his being. And it's my challenge, and I'm bringing it to your attention today as we go into a new year. Let us give time and opportunity, if we haven't yet fully discovered, and ask ourselves, "Thank you, God, that I was born and that I have life, but Lord, why? I want to work out that in my life this year." Jesus not only lived the trajectory of his life, but every day the Bible indicates he was obviously aware of the scriptures and what they said about him. As he quoted from Isaiah in the synagogue there, he was familiar with the scriptures. In fact, very early, when he was just 12 years of age, the Bible says he got with all the Bible teachers and he amazed them with his answers. He was so familiar with the Holy Spirit-inspired writings of the Old Testament. And then the Bible indicates, as you read through the Gospels, that every chance Jesus got, he was out on the hillside praying to his Father, having given out, having stepped out in fulfillment of the call that was upon his life. He came and replenished himself in the Father. He came and sought a fresh revelation from his Father, so that every day he wasn't just aware of the general trajectory of his life, but every day he wanted to live out a sense of purpose a sense of destiny. And it's my prayer to my own heart and to you as my brothers and sisters, let's not just go and have another year, but have a year that works out the purposes of God for each of our lives. Jesus put it this way in John chapter 5 and verse 19, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. I love this quote from Oswald Sanders. He was a man, actually he lived to be 90 years of age. I think from 1902 to 1992. So passed to be with the Lord not too long ago. And he was a mission director with Overseas Mission Fellowship. And I don't know if he was commenting particularly on this passage, but he says this, as in all else, our Lord sets the perfect example of the strategic use of time. He moved through life with measured tread, never in a hurry, though always thronged and often harassed by the demanding crowd. To those who came to him for help, he gave the impression that he had no more important concern than their interests. The secret of his serenity lay in the assurance that he was working according to the Father's plan for his life. Oh, that's the desire for my heart towards the Lord today. And I, as I look at you as my brothers and sisters, and I sense the wonderful potential for the kingdom of God here. Let us, as we expose ourselves regularly to his word, let us, as we come before him and make time to wait upon the Lord, to not only refresh ourselves, but to say, Lord, what is your destiny for my day? Holy Spirit, guide me. Holy Spirit, give me good ideas. Holy Spirit, prompt me as I see needs. And position me that I might be an instrument of blessing in your hands. That's my prayer, and it is my desire. That is why I have come. Now, Jesus spoke to us as humanity with a general trajectory for our lives as well. In Matthew 22, you will be familiar with this passage, verses 35 to 37. He says, the whole guiding principle and filter of your life is that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second great command is like it, that you love others as you love yourself. And then not only did he give us that as a general command to guide and to direct our lives, but he gave us the commission. He says, at the very end of Matthew's gospel, chapter 28, he says, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. And then he looked at his disciples and followers in the eye, and he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything to obey everything that I have taught you. And here's the promise, I am going to be with you always. There's never a day for the rest of our lives where the presence of the Lord is not going to be with you. And so even though you might feel inadequate to the good ideas or the impressions or the promptings of the Holy Spirit, trust that God has positioned you. Trust that God has brought that person or that need to your attention because he has chosen you to be part of the answer and the solution. That is why you have come. We often talk about the WWJD, what would Jesus do? And to be honest with you, when I see that, I feel a bit intimidated. It's all right for Jesus, but I mean, he was the Son. I know he was totally human, but what would Jesus do? Well, I'm not quite sure that I can go there. I was reading a writer recently, and he said, perhaps we should add another four letters to that statement. I-H-W-M. W-W-J-D, I-H-W-M. What would Jesus do if he were me? And when I read that, that brings it right down to where I live. I mean, what would Jesus do? I'm not quite up. And I won't get there. Even when I get to heaven, I'll enjoy being with Jesus, but I'll never quite be like Jesus was. But I can live where I am here and with his presence within me because I've dedicated my life to him. If he were me, in my work situation, in my school, in my home and family life, in my community, and I heard about that need or I saw somebody that was wanting help, with my limitations, my giftings, what would Jesus do if he were me? It's a good question for you to ask and answer yourself. And I would encourage you that the best way to stay sensitive to the answer to that is do what Jesus did, as we read earlier in Mark's gospel. He not only was familiar with the word, I want to encourage you to give yourselves to the word of God. Make this year, if it hasn't been a regular habit in your life, if you're wanting the revelation of God, if you're wanting a direction, Psalm 119 and verse 105 says, your word is a light to my path and a lamp to my feet. If you want to know what God's will is, if you want to know why you are here, get into his word. I love the word of God. I'm not wanting to boast here, but it's the priority of my day. I do have breakfast beforehand, but after breakfast, before any media, any computer, anything else, before any other voice, I want to hear the voice of God to give me the direction that he wants for me that day. What would Jesus do if he were me? Last year, I read through the whole Bible. Pastor Tom was talking about reading through the whole Bible during his holiday break. I thought it took me a whole year to read through the Bible. And if you want to take that on, you have to still do 3.5 chapters every day, because there are, 1,189 chapters, so you do the math. But I read through the whole Bible in a year, and it just enriched me every time I came. It was just like feeding my soul. But not only for me, but as I read it, it's amazing the verses that the Lord impresses on your mind. And as you go about your day in the shopping center or people that you come across, all of a sudden a verse will trigger in your mind. And you say, I know that verse wasn't just for me, but it's for me to share, to help somebody else in need. This year, I've just started doing something a little bit different. I won't get through the whole Bible in a year, but now I am actually writing the Word of God. I've started off in the book of James. I've just finished James. I'm into 1 Peter. So almost a chapter a day I'm doing. And there's something beautiful when you get down and you sit there Turn everything else off. Get your notebook or pad or whatever. Get the Word of God and actually write it out. I don't know psychologically what it does, but it just slows you down. It forces you. It's not a good word because it should be something that you enjoy doing, and I do. But when you write it, wow, I've read that verse many times, but as I write it, it impacts and impresses you. Make this year a one where you're going to give yourselves to exposure to the truth of God, because the Bible says that it is the truth that will set you free. Set you free from all other people's ideas, all other people's voices, all other people's agendas. Even Jesus, as he had ministered in the town and the whole town, there was healings and people being released from demon possession. And then after having given out of all of that spiritual energy, that virtue, if you like, Jesus came aside before anyone else had gotten up and he said, Father, refresh me. I've given out, but I need a fresh infilling for tomorrow's activities. Yesterday's anointing is not sufficient. I need, Lord God, I need to receive from you. And as he was receiving from the Father, some of the disciples thinking, Jesus, we've been looking everywhere for you. You did a good job yesterday, but there are still others that have heard about it and they've come to the town and they want you to come back and join in. Jesus, oh, is that so? I'm not getting the impression that that's what the Father wants me to do for today. So come on, let's go to another village that I might preach there and deliver people and heal people there. And you will have lots of people, including your boss or whomever, that will be telling you how you should be living your life and telling you what you should and shouldn't be doing. And if it is your boss, then I agree you need to be listening and be obedient to that. But of all the other voices, come aside and take time to listen first and foremost to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Let him speak to you. He knows what your day is going to be like. He knows the persons that are going to cross your path. He knows what needs you're going to be exposed to. And he has positioned you to be the answer, to have the reason for your being, to know the why. That's my prayer for us today. I remember one time when I was with another mate, Colin. We had the privilege of going to China and going way out into the outback. I don't even remember the name of the town. And if I did remember it, I probably wouldn't pronounce it correctly. Except to say I know it was out from Guangzhou, down towards the south there. And we went to these really remote house churches that were there. They were not legally allowed to be there because of the government suppression at the time. But we went as we'd been invited to do, and we went to this man's house. He was the leader of a group of neighbors in the area. He opened up his house, and in the lounge room of his area, there were about 40 people that had gathered when they heard that there were a couple of Christian men coming to tell us about God and who Jesus was. So there was literally standing room only, although they had these little plastic stools that they all sat on, and it was really shoulder to shoulder. And we had a great time. We had an interpreter. I don't speak Chinese. We had an interpreter explain the Word of God, and the people were so, they were literally on the edge of their stool, wanting more and more and more. And at the end of the time, we said, okay, is there any who would like prayer, like to receive Jesus, who would like to make a commitment of their life to him? And as you can imagine, every hand in the whole congregation went up, about 40 of them. So I thought, wow, I don't know how we're going to go. So anyway, we started from number one. Colin started at one end and I started from the other end. And we met in the middle after praying for everyone. And we're thinking, oh, Lord, thank you for this opportunity that we have to share the faith, Lord. You positioned us. We didn't feel adequate at the time, but you positioned us. And so we've given what we've got. Only you can do the rest. At the end of the message, the leader of the house came and knelt before us. He'd stepped back, letting everybody else get prayed for first. He knelt down before us. Colin and I looked at each other and we said to the interpreter, what would he like us to pray for? She asked, and then he said, the leader says that there's no doctor in our village. And so God, he's asking God to give him gifts of healings so that he might administer the truth that you've been preaching of to the people that you have entrusted to him. Ah, I was just so overwhelmed. I was just so humbled in my spirit and thinking, Lord, I don't know why you chose me, but thank you that you've given me the privilege to do this. And so we prayed for him. And we are not, now I will never see him again. I trust that when I get to heaven, he might come up and say, do you remember me? And he would say, look at all these people that I prayed for and got healed. What a thrill that will be. And another house that we went to just following that, my friend Colin, he was very sensitive to God, and after he'd prayed, after he'd ministered, he would pray for people and have a prophetic word for them. And I was sitting back watching him do this. I thought, man, I just don't seem to have that gift. And I was having a little bit of a pity party with God. I was getting a little bit envious. I mean, I can preach the Bible, yeah, but I don't seem to get prophetic words. And as I was musing that in my spirit, I felt the Lord say, but you know quite a bit of my scripture, so when people come for you to pray, don't worry about coming up with a prophetic word. Not that I'm against that, I think it's wonderful. But when you pray for people, I'm going to bring to your attention a verse of scripture that will be just specific for that person's need, and they will be so enriched. Will you be prepared to take that step of faith? My definition of faith is living in relaxed trust of God's working in your life. So I didn't feel any special anointing, but I thought, I'm going to step out in faith. So I started praying, and verses of scripture, ones that I didn't even remember that I knew, but they were coming out left, right, and center. And one lady, I was praying for her, and there was a lady interpreting, and I placed my hand on her head, and the verse of scripture came to my mind is in Song of Songs, chapter 2 and verse 4. And I said, Lord, for this lady, I pray that she will know that the banner of your love is upon her. And after I'd said, the banner of your love, everything went quiet. And Lord, I pray that the banner of your love would be upon this lady. Still no response from my interpreter. Lord, I pray that you would embrace this lady with your love. It's always good to change your words if you're going through an interpreter. Afterwards, I said to the interpreter, I said, did I say something wrong when I said, would the banner of your love be upon? Oh, she said, banner. She said, I didn't say anything because I thought you said the banana of your love. And she said, I'm going to have to read my Bible again, but I've never heard of the banana of God's love. Although now I know why my wife is very attuned to the love of God, because every breakfast she has a banana. But It's a delight to follow the Lord. It's not easy, but it's the best life. It'll cost you. Jesus said, if you come after me, you've got to be prepared to deny yourself, to take up your cross and to follow me. But wow, if you want an adventure, if you want to know that you weren't just born, but you were born with a purpose, then Jesus is to be the Lord of your life. Let me finish up this morning by reading two passages. These are not from the New International Version. I do love them in the New International, but I just thought for today I want to read them in two paraphrases that we have that are a great enrichment to our faith in God. The first is from Matthew chapter 11. You'll be familiar with it, where Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. So if you're wanting to serve the Lord but thinking, oh, I just don't know that I'm going to have the energy or the strength to do it, realize that the Lord's call will be his enabling. Listen to how the Message paraphrase puts this, Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you will recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Then this phrase really burned in my spirit. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Oh, I received that afresh today. And the last verse, thank you. Bless God. The last verse is from Ephesians chapter 5. Where it talks about using our time wisely in the New International Version. But I read J.B. Phillips' paraphrase. I think it's still in print. If you can get a copy, I encourage you to do so. But J.B. Phillips' paraphrase of, it's in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17. And this is my prayer for each of us today as we close this service. Live life with a due sense of responsibility. Not as men who know not the meaning and purpose of life, but as those who do. Make the best use of your time. Don't be vague, but firmly grasp what you know to be the will of the Lord. May I pray over you? We don't need to bow our heads or close our eyes today. But just while we're together as a family, I'm asking each one of you as I sought to share something of what the Lord has been challenging me and dealing with me over. I pray that you've heard something from my heart today. And for those of you who know Jesus as your own personal Saviour, I want you to take fresh courage. I want you to take fresh inspiration. I want you to take time, especially perhaps before the dust really settles in all of our other commitments, to draw aside, get His Word. Come where you can just meet with Him. If necessary, go into your room, close the door, and just wait upon Him. Enjoy His presence. Don't come with a long list of prayer requests, but just bathe. Let him love you today. Let his spirit speak into your spirit and say, this is why you were born. This is why you came. Would you go out and make disciples of all nations? Would you teach others? Would you baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and teach them everything that I've spoken to you and taught you? That's my appeal to you today. And I pray as I look at you, and I can't see some of your faces because of the light, but the Lord knows who you are. You know who you are. And he gives you this invitation to make this not another year, but make it a one another year where you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Where in your love for God, you'll also seek to love others as you love yourself. And I'm, with great expectancy, looking forward to this year and believing that this is going to be a year of great fruitfulness, that we won't just race after the urgent things that seem to try and get our attention, but we will be settled in our spirit. We will recognize God's giftings within us, and we will choose to do that which in the Father's eyes are the most important things for us to do. Let us be intentional. Don't just drift. Seize the day and be an instrument of blessing in God's hands. As I've been speaking to you, there are probably people here that have never yet said yes to Jesus. They know they were born, that's why they're here. But if they were interviewed and asked, what's the purpose of your life? I don't know, to get married, to have children, to do a good job at work, all good things. But what's God's purpose? What's his reason for bringing you to bear? The first step in coming to terms with that is to receive the salvation that Jesus came, as I spoke of earlier. If you're honest enough to say, yeah, I'm feeling constricted, I'm feeling bound in the habits, in the self-indulgence of my life, I feel bound in feeling like I've got to control everything. But today, I recognize that it's not really achieving. It's not really satisfying. It's not really leading me anywhere. And today, I don't know what the answer is going to be in terms of where it will lead, but I want to put my life into the hands of this Jesus that you are talking about today. Jesus will hear that prayer from your heart. And as you say yes to him, he will say yes to you. Jesus said, if you want to receive me, you've got to be like a little child. So here's the A, B, C, D. A, acknowledge and admit that you've fallen short of God's standard for your life, and that you've offended God, and that you've lived contrary to his purpose, wanting to be in control, but you want to change. B, believe that Jesus came to take you out of that place of darkness, out of that place of hopelessness, out of that place of no future, and give you a life of inspiration and adventure in harmony with his destiny for your life. See, count the cost. This is not just a quick, oh yeah, I'll put my hand up, I'll receive Jesus. Beauty, I've done that. I'll get on with the rest of my life now. No, if you're going to come after him, you've got to deny yourself. Are you willing to do that? You've got to take up your cross, because sometimes it's not easy being a Christian in the society in which we live. And you've got to follow him, not your own directives of life. Count the cost. And lastly, and this is what I'm asking us to do, decide. Today is the day I yield my life to God. Today is the day I receive his forgiveness. Today is the day I join hands with him as my Savior and my Lord, and I give him the permission to lead, to direct, and to fulfill his purpose for my life. Would you all stand with me, please? Thank you for your attention to God's word today. Jim Elliot, a famous missionary, who in fact was martyred at just the age of 28 years when he was doing mission work in Ecuador. Obviously, before he was martyred, he said this word: he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. So, Father, I pray over every one of my brothers and sisters today as we go out into a new week. For those that have said yes to you for the first time, as Pastor Tom encouraged us earlier, would you meet at the Why Jesus stand and tell them of your decision? They would love to give you some literature to help you. For others of us who have known the Lord for some time, but we've sort of drifted off the path that God has for us, don't delay any longer. Would you come back and align your life with the purposes of God? And with that in mind, it's my prayer that the amazing grace of our Master Jesus Christ and the extravagant love of God our Father and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit will go with us now and always. Amen. We're free to go. If your diet allows, you're free to have some fairy floss. But for those who just would like someone to pray with them, just to consolidate what you've made a decision in your heart about today, this altar area here, the front of the church, will be available for you to come. There will be a team that will come, have a prayer with you, and send you forth rejoicing. But apart from that, have a wonderful day together. And for the rest of the year, let's keep on keeping on. Good morning and God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.